Well, there's a coach that made a comment, Noodles. It's just...
Someone sent this tweet in. Fraser sent this tweet in. I had never seen this clip before. Remember our friend, who we love and we support, the head coach of Switzerland, the world junior head coach?
Yes.
The guy who went on that rant about how Canada was going to crush them.
Yeah,
and he's like,
yeah,
we have no chance. Like, they're the best. We suck. He had another clip back in 2019 World Juniors. That was the one in Vancouver when Finland absolutely destroyed Switzerland 6-1. And I guess they were preparing, like, in the post game, what kind of message he was going to send to his team for how to prepare for the next game. I have no idea
how we missed this.
Like, how did we miss this? But his name is Christian Wolwind. That is the name of the head coach. We have referenced him before. Why don't we find the other clip that we used to play all the time, Mullen?
They're
if we can.
Faster, they're bigger, they're stronger, they can shoot better, they can pass better, they can do everything better.
So that was his pep talk for the boys. Hopefully Sheldon Keefe is not deciding to take a page out of his book.
No.
But this, on the other hand, is possibly something worthy of using or borrowing from the Swiss head coach and applying it to your pregame speech tonight.
I hope all our players are eager and horny enough to win this game.
Eager and horny enough to win this game.
That's fair. That's fair. That is flat out. If that's not one of the... We've had some good sound drops on this show. That one might be top five.
It's
for
unbelievable. Shout out to Fraser. I have no idea how we missed that.
Give it to me again. This is a coach prepping for a game.
I hope all our players are eager and horny enough to win this game.
To win this game. Are you horny enough to win? Imagine Sheldon Keefe going up to Auston Matthews. Are you horny enough to win this game tonight?
Are you eager and horny enough?
Are you
enough
eager
to win?
And horny enough?
Like, that's something we would say on this show.
Yeah. Let's go, boys. Come on, boys. Let's go,
horny.
Boys. Be horny tonight. Be eager and horny tonight. The Leafs have got to be eager and they've got to be horny. It can't just be a combination of one or the other.
Know.
It's got to be both.
That is something else.
Yeah, you got to be eager and horny tonight. You have to be.
You got to play horny hockey.
How have we missed that?
I'm embarrassed. I'm personally, we are going to have an air check now with everyone that works in this company. How we missed that clip. 3 years old, more than that. All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson.
Johnny, if you were going to describe what horny hockey looks like, what would it look like to you?
Well, I know, especially down in Tampa on the road, you got to be horny, horned up, and ready to go. Like, you got to be ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in hockey terms, what does horny mean? Like, you just get in on the forecheck or what?
I think assertive would be the word for horny. Kind of like, you know, reactive, like proactive instead of reactive.
Right.
So, taking the initiative, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
aggressive.
You got to be physical. You got to be who knows, but no, I think it just means you have to want it. I guess is the essence of what he's trying to say. Yeah, you have to want whatever it is. You got to want it.
That's like that. It is an unbelievable comment.
It's the best.
But we have had it said, and you just have to use it for context, right?
But you've heard that in the dressing room before. Guys are horned up tonight or whatever, like within context of playing the hockey, you know, just excited and ready to go and ready to get after it. I guess that's usually the context that it's used in.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Yeah, eager and horny tonight. I think that goes without saying. That's a mandatory.
I would hope so.
Yeah, tonight. Mandatory ingredient for both teams, right? I would think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess. But the question for Toronto is that they've had two games where they've come out so incredibly flat. Now, they were able to win Game 5 in a stirring, dramatic fashion. It was amazing. I was riveted on my phone on the plane following along with what was happening. I had my kids sending me, like, texts and videos of the goals of the crowd and everything. It was awesome. But the reason it was such a great comeback is because it was such a poor start. And, you know, you don't want to be Debbie Downer. It was great that they won, and it was, you know, maybe a milestone victory. Maybe felt differently than other moments with this team. But they can't do that again. They won't win in Tampa with another start like that. Like, it's probably very unlikely that would happen. So they better be horned up and ready to go when it starts, because it's kind of cost them a couple games in a row where they were not ready to play at the beginning, and that's a tough way to play.
Johnny, have you ever heard a coach or a player, and I'm not talking about the Spezza speech after the first period the other night, but just avoiding a slow start where something different happened in the locker room, coach made you change the routine. Have you just been a part, and Noodles, you can chime in after, just something that worked or happened where it's like, we can't have another poor start, and something was different?
That's a good question. Oh, I mean, I can't recall, like, not to avoid a bad start. I can't recall, you know, go out of the tunnel differently, play different warm-up music, have a different pregame meal, whatever it might be. You know, I probably have been on teams where they canceled morning skates or stuff like that to try to get a better result, or had a morning skate when there wasn't one. But that's about the extent of it. The start stuff is, don't you kind of put that on the players? Like, there's nothing really the coach can do. This is not any given Sunday. There's no dramatic speeches, even though whatever they want to say about Jason Spence is, there's no dramatic speeches that are going to make you play any better at this point. It's just on the players, especially at the start, because it's not even strategy yet. It's just, are you ready to go play? And so I guess I just have put mostly on the players and being kind of mentally ready for the challenge.
I've played on teams. We were playing Phoenix in the playoffs. We were a pretty good team with St. Louis, and there was a lot of pressure on us to win that. And we got down, I think, 3-1. We ended up coming back. And there was, going into overtime, a lot of tension going into the room. And I think I've told this story before. Granfier never said anything. He was a quiet guy, just very relaxed. And he just stood up and said, guys, I just need one goal tonight. Like, it was just before the end, and we'll be good. We won 1-0 that night. Like, you got a leader that says, like, just give me one. I just need one tonight. We'll be fine. Like, that type of stuff, like, those, that's what legends are made of. Like, I witnessed it. It was right in front of my eyes. That's a guy who never said anything. Like, he was just a quiet guy, just a good leader with his play. That's the type of stuff that you notice, because that's out of their comfort zone. They rarely, you know, for him to show that type of emotion and to guarantee, like, just get me one and we'll win, that, and he backed it up, too. That's the crazy part. Like, that's legendary.
That's like calling
stuff.
Your shot. Yeah. Yeah. That's like Babe Ruth pointing to left field and then hitting a home run.
Right.
Like, that's pretty legendary. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that'd be great if Jack Campbell pulled that off tonight. What are the chances, Johnny, of Jack Campbell? Like, we had that discussion in the last hour that there's a variety of ways where the Leafs can find a way to win tonight, but it may come down to you just have to stand on your head and steal a game. Wouldn't be ideal in the moment, but if the game sheet says you win, so be it. Right, and it's something Freddie Anderson was not capable of doing for 5 years.
And in many ways, it's the easiest way. In hockey, it's the easiest way to kind of pull off a big victory. It's just to have your goalie, because so many of them are capable of it, just to have one of those special nights. And maybe for Toronto to finally get over the hump, they need a special night. And that could be Austin Matthews with a hat trick. That could be William Nylander with a huge game. But it's probably more likely to be Jack Campbell playing exceptionally well and keeping Tampa to one goal against or something like that. And he's playing pretty well. I mean, from when we were analyzing the series before it started, guys, we always said Jack Campbell doesn't have to be Andre Vasilevskiy, but he's got to be good, right? He's got to be somewhere near what Vasilevskiy is. And to this point, he's been every bit as good, if not better, than Vasilevskiy in this series. So he's done his part playing the other goalie to a standstill, and now it's on his team to win it. So he's been up to the challenge so far, and you know, the biggest one is coming tonight. We'll see if he can rise to meet it one more time. But that would be a great recipe. Give me a Granfier. I just need one. We'll get you one then, Jack, and hold the fort if you can.
So the Hart nominees were announced today. McDavid and Matthews, not a surprise. I think everyone was expecting those two to be nominated. It was who was going to be third that was really the debate, and it turns out to be Igor Shesterkin. So we've got a goalie nominated for the Hart. Goudreau, Huberdeau, Draisaitl, Josi, Makar. There's a number of other guys who are coming up that aren't clearly nominated. Of the guys I named, or maybe someone I missed, do you think there's anyone out there that has the biggest gripe that should be maybe most disappointed that they weren't nominated for the Hart?
I mean, I don't think it's a gripe. Because I think Shesterkin, you know, what he did the first 65 games of the year was pretty special, and how well that he played. He struggled down the stretch a little bit, which maybe he thought might cost him the Hart nomination, even though he's still going to win the Vezina. But I can't quibble with with him being there. He was exceptionally good. You look at a lot of the numbers, they were kind of historically on par with other great individual seasons in net. The guy that I would have fourth would probably have been Johnny Gaudreau. So he's right. To me, he'd be the guy with the greatest case to hang on. Like, look what I did. I led the league in 5-on-5 points. I dominated the best line and, you know, ran the best line in the league. My team won the division. All those different things. I scored 40. It's not like I, you know, scored 25 and had 80 assists. So he would have been my next guy. But he'll be rewarded this summer when he finally gets a new contract.
Yeah, I agree.
He will be.
I thought it was, I don't know if you guys saw the comments from Chris Kreider. Like, this guy scored 50 this year and had an unbelievable season. And he flat out said he's been our best player all year. So, and he goes, we're not in the position we are without him. He kept us in games, single-handedly won games. Like, mm-hmm. That's the difference. Like, that, the Rangers, we've all seen that team play. They're quite loose offensively. They're very loose defensively. And Shesterkin, you know, when he's not playing well, we see what it looks like because Pittsburgh crunches them. But I think he was, it warranted that. And Johnny, you talked about the underlying numbers. You know, they were on par with when Hasek won the Hart those 2 years. Like, that's how good it was. So I think it warranted it, but there are other guys that have cases. You know, Josi and Gaudreau. How about Huberto? Not even that conversation.
Yeah, Huberto absolutely should be. Yeah, for sure. I mean, how many points did he end up with?
Dude, 100? That's crazy. He'd be pissed. People in Florida be pissed. If that was the other
guy, Alan Walsh,
Toronto,
yep. Can't be happy.
No.
Yeah. Oh, is it his client? Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear from him if we haven't already. Yeah, but listen, Matthews, that's, again, what is at stake, you know, for the Leafs. There's so many different angles to it, but the idea of winning a series, allowing yourself to breathe, and allowing Matthews to celebrate it tonight. You know, like, of course he wants to celebrate the series win, but then he can answer questions about the Hart. Like, today, he said it's a special honor, which it is, but he's never going to be completely open about the magnitude of this nomination until they win the round. Because if they don't, no one in Toronto wants to hear about his Hart season, right? No one wants to hear about the nomination, and he knows that.
No.
He's very self-aware.
He knows what's up. He knows that he people are like, well, just another example of the guy's doing the regular season and not doing in the playoffs. And that's the position they put themselves in now, is that they've set themselves up for another a great storyline or just another nightmare. Like, it almost would be worse to be where they are now and to lose game 6 and 7, let's say, than having lost game 5 if they won game 6 and then lose. You know what I mean? Like, if they lose 2 more times with an opportunity to clinch, like, that would again be, you know, fodder for the idea that this group can't get it done in the biggest moments. So, he can't celebrate it. The team can't celebrate it. But they've said they've been different all year, right? Like, they promised that they're not the same group.
Yeah.
Here it is.
And
maybe game 5 was the first and most obvious example of that. They are a different group. Like, they came through in a game where they usually wouldn't have in the playoffs. But, you know, now is their chance to finish that narrative, to dunk it forever. If they can beat the 2-time defending champs, a team thinking about, you know, going into like historical dynasty territory. No one's won 3 in a row since the Islanders in the early 80s. That's what Tampa's trying to do. If they could beat them, then they may not go to the Stanley Cup final and win it, but at least this idea that they can't come through in the clutch, that's out the window.
Yeah, for sure. And they've got a big crack at it tonight. If not, then obviously we know what's at stake on Saturday. Shesterkin and the Rangers, they find a way to win last night. They find a way to survive. And now the Crosby injury looms large, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know where you guys stand on that Trouba-Crosby hit. It's a weird collision in the slot. You know, like, you don't see a lot of suspendable plays right there, kind of in between the hash marks. But
no one's moving fast enough usually there.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, like one, he steps up on him and he gets him. I don't personally think that's a suspendable play, but the bigger story is whether or not Sid's going to keep going. And if Sid is out,
you watch it again, it's shoulder to kind of shoulder. There wasn't like head contact.
Well, his head
it's a weird thing because that's the thing, Jamie. When you make contact like that, the player's head snaps back and everybody always starts yelling, "The head snap back." That's from the contact. It wasn't shoulder to head, and that's why the league didn't suspend. You can't think that Trouba is some monster because he finished one of the best players in the world. That's what made his head snap back, the shoulder-to-shoulder contact.
I think what it is we all love Sid. We see how amazing
exactly,
he's playing.
Jamie.
Here's the other thing, too. The first thing I thought about is that has been so far in his rearview mirror. This guy has had concussion history. For what? How long was that, Johnny? 2 years in a row, basically, right?
But that was a long time ago now.
I know, but now it creeps back in because, those are on your resume. They don't, you don't just get past them. You have to work them into your life. That's the first thing I thought about is, man, oh, man, like if that starts to dig up things that are, have been worked on and rejuvenated, it's such a massive blow for Pittsburgh. And then Louis Domingue. Was Louis Domingue last night. Now they're talking about Tristan Jerry get back into a game if it goes to a game seven. That's what I was reading today out of Pittsburgh. So I don't know, Johnny, how you feel, but that could be a game changer in that series.
Yeah, so I see it a little bit differently. I think it was not malicious in intent by Trouba, but I think as he kind of got spun around, stick through his legs, I saw that elbow forearm get away from his body, that little bit of a chicken wing action. And I do think it hit Crosby. Like Crosby was feeling his chin for a cut. Like I think it hit him right, almost accidentally, but you still have to be responsible for your own body motion, even if it's not on purpose. So whether it's a fine or something, I didn't like the idea when the arms get wide and you get a guy upwards of the head, if he catches him in the head. So, but you're right. And that changed the game was over. The series was over when Sid was in. 2-0. Rangers had nothing going on. Sid's unstoppable, playing better than anyone in the playoffs. And the Penguins look like a shell of the team once he was out. And Malkin is still a good player. I mean, he was on a 80-point, 40-goal pace this year. But he doesn't play the game stopping and starting like Sid does. Like, Malkin wants to keep moving, turn, curl, regroup. And it's a different kind of style. And that style kind of suits Zibanejad, who has to play against him an awful lot. And so I just don't know if he'll be nearly as effective, even playing with Gensel and Rust. So, yeah, a lot all of a sudden riding on Pittsburgh getting it done in Game 6 at home, whether it's with Jari or Domingue or whoever, because if they don't have Sid, I don't love their chances going into New York in a Game 7.
Right.
No kidding. I mean, that he's been so good that, like, Gensel's been great, Rust has been great, but it's been driven by 87.
No kidding.
And there's no update. Like, maybe he ends up playing in Game 6, but, at this point it's not looking great for sure. We'll get you out of here on the Edmonton side of things. We've been discussing this the last 90 minutes. The idea of McDavid and Draisaitl being paired together, what kind of message does that send from Woodcroft? How do you read that? Is that desperation? Is it just smart tactics? Where do you stand on the two of them being paired tonight?
Well, it feels kind of like desperation to me. Not quite panic, but desperation. There's a reason why they never played together with Woodcroft 5-on-5 very much when he took over, because he recognized the team's better when they're apart. So you're obviously putting them back together because you've run out of options of trying to play them apart that work. Maybe in the room there's some sort of, these guys are so good, they're unstoppable. We got this because they're them. But there's also, like, if they don't, somehow Phil Deneau puts on a Superman defensive cape and shuts those guys down. Well, who else is going to score for Edmonton? So without Darnell Nurse, Mike Smith, Noodles, your boy, he better have a clean game, because I don't think they can afford, a greasy, loose one and get through, elimination game on the road. So, I'll be interested to see how it works out. Now, you can always split them up if it's not working, but it does feel like he's run out of other options, because this would not be option one.
Yeah, the only thing I had for the guys was RNH only played 12 minutes at 5-on-5, and he's playing in the third hole. I think they need him in the top six role. And you play him with Kane and Hyman, that's a pretty good line. So that I think you load up the top six and then forget about anybody else. That's the way I felt. Like, let those two monsters go and then have a second line. Like, that Kane is a handful. I don't think he's played very well the last couple games. But he's a handful when he plays. When he's got a burr going, he could be somebody that I would circle that could be a difference maker tonight.
And also, though, like, Darnell Nurse's headbutt was ridiculously silly.
You're
in an elimination game. You play more important minutes than anybody else on the defense. We've seen what happens when the depth guys have to play too much against top players. Like Duncan Keith, Hall of Fame career, he's not the same guy. Tyson Barrie, Evan Bouchard. Those are not guys that are going to lock it down. You got to rely on Darnell Nurse to play 27, 28 minutes and a blatant, obvious headbutt to take you out of an elimination game. If they lose tonight, like that's worth discussing, because you just can't do that to your team at that point. If it's February and you're frustrated, go ahead. It costs you money. It doesn't really cost anybody else anything. But facing an elimination game potentially, that was ill-advised.
Yeah. Yep, and they might pay the price for it tonight. We'll find out. We've got four game sixes. We'll get you out of here on the same question we were asked, and we went around the table on this to start the hour. How many handshake lines do we see tonight? There's anywhere from zero to four. Could be four handshake lines tonight in the Stanley Cup playoffs. How many are you anticipating?
St. Louis is going to win. Cam Talbot's playing, actually, apparently,
yes, too.
That's quite a decision. I think St. Louis is going to win. I think L.A. might win it. And one of Carolina or Toronto. I think we see three tonight. I think we see three handshakes
UNO.
Tonight.
Okay, you and O are on the same wavelength. All right, you guys
like
are feeling
it.
Horny for handshake lines tonight.
Horny to end the series, guys. Yep. Got to be horny and ready.
Okay, text the grappler your answers, okay? Text the grappler who's going to win, and we're going to go over it tomorrow.
All right.
All right, Johnny. Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, boys. Talk to you.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota, and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's Red Tag Days. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, you got to be horny for handshake lines tonight. I mean, that's the line. This is the message that we have for eight teams tonight. It's not only the teams that can close, although I guess in Toronto this is more about what
just
like
any kind of approach for hockey
has to be this.
I hope all our players are eager and horny enough to win this game.
Yeah. Put that on a t-shirt. Dude, eager and horny enough.
Were we sleeping underground in a coffin when that came out? We would have played that 6,000 times.
I know.
I've never heard that one before. I don't know how that got lost in the shuffle.
Me neither.
No idea.
Me neither. I mean, that's a TSN broadcast. It was the World Juniors in 2019. Now, we were all over the map. Oh, you were in Vancouver. Noodles, you and I are off at different times. The Grappler, Mullen. It's not a game that was necessarily on the radar, right? I wasn't sitting there saying, I got to see the post game for Finland-Switzerland at the 2019 World Juniors. But that's on us. I mean, we owe the audience an apology. This is something that should have been played into the ground for 3 years.
Yep,
and it will
agree.
Be played into the ground for a long time. We got the sea shanty, and we got this.
I hope all our players are eager and horny enough to win this game.
Yeah, that's right. I love how he closes. Like, it's almost like there's a clock in his head. You got to finish quick to win this game.
I hope all our players are eager and horny enough to win this game.
Beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Love it.